We're working through the subject, the topic of fear, anxiety, stress, and what God has to say about all that. And I wanted to set it up like this week. Well, by the way, I know we're eventually going to mention this, but the Temple family is here tonight for the first time. And the husband's in the back getting his coffee, and the beloved wife is here waiting with bated breath for her man to return to her. So all that. And so, yeah, we all enjoyed all your Hawaii pictures and made us jealous. So we're glad you're here and glad you're married. So I wanted to set this up this way. Ed Welch, which is largely the, probably, I don't know, he's at the top of the food chain in biblical counseling, maybe the most prolific writer, maybe the best professor, definitely the, you know, there's a top three guys. David Powlison was one of them. He just recently died. Ed Welch, Paul Tripp, maybe these are some names that you know of if you don't. I get to know them. They're all awesome, but he's kind of the scholar of the bunch. Powlison was too, but Welch has probably written more. And what he said was that if you go to the doctor for a mental health problem, most of the time it's something that has to do with fear, anxiety, stress. Most of the time. Phobia, all the phobias fit in that box. And they talk about, you know, they used to be called that you're neurotic, you know, or psychotic. Both of those are fear-based. And so neurotic means that you are afraid of something that's real. Psychotic means that you've jumped the reality ship. Both fear things. Fear is endemic. Fear is as big as all of us. There's none of you that can say that I've never been afraid. We've all been afraid. I was out on the patio today, and my little 18-month grand was stumbling a little bit, and the 3-year-old, her sister, grabs her hand and holds her hand and says, and stabilizes her, and she says to me, Papa, she need me hold her hand. And she was afraid as she was stumbling. And God says it this way, I'm the Lord your God who takes a hold of your hand, your right hand, and says to you, don't be afraid, I'll help you. So Welch has written in the Journal of Biblical Counseling like lots of books. Lots of articles, I mean. You know, like these journals are kind of when scholars weigh in journal form. And so he's written all these articles. And I've read all the ones that he has to say about anxiety and other subjects, but definitely recently in preparation for this series about anxiety, fear, any of those sister problems. And one of the things that he says is this. He says that anxiety always, the solution to anxiety always boils down to two primary things for a believer. And remember, this whole conversation in this whole series is to believers. Because if I'm talking to somebody who's not a believer, the whole conversation is completely different. But to a believer, it boils down, he says, it always ends up in the, what are we going to do about it? Two things. And we're going to talk about those tonight. The other encouragement that he gave was he said, listen, don't ever be afraid of those texts that everybody knows about fear and anxiety. Because it's not lost on me that the reason that everybody knows about him is because we're all afraid and anxious. So we go back to those texts over and over again and milk them and hear them, and we need to hear them over and over again. You can go start at Genesis, and you can go all the way to Revelation, and you can see God showing up and saying, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous, I'm with you, don't be afraid, whether it's Joshua or Gideon or David or anybody. He would just over and over again before a war, before a this, before a that, before Moses when he's going to see Pharaoh, don't be afraid, I'm with you, no matter what it is until he says it to us. He says, you can come to me with all your burdens and I'll take care of you, don't be afraid. And so the two things, and I'm going to use the great text on anxiety out of the middle of the Sermon on the Mount today, which is, of course, you all know it, and so I'm not going to belabor it, but the thing is, we just need to hear it again. It's kind of like we just need to hear it again, and why? Because we're still anxious, and we still need to know what to do when it hits us, when we are afraid, when we are afraid. And we're afraid about tons of different things. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about how the natural mind and the natural man, the Bible talks a lot about the natural man, and that's the way that man is after the fall. It's the simplest way to say that. The way that man is after the fall. In other words, the way the mind is after the fall. And I'm going to set it up with a little bit of that, but I'm going to work through, and the two things I'm going to go ahead and tell you before I tell you is this. God is near and he cares. That's number one. And number two, live in the moment. Live in the moment. I just got back from our dad's funeral. It was really wonderful. But the trip before, if you remember, a month ago, I went out because he was dying and we wanted to be with him before he died. And when I went out with him, I said, Mom, how are you doing? And she just said, God's got this. So God's here, and he is present, and he cares. I was like, okay, but, you know, like, there's, but how are you doing? I mean, like, how are you handling it? And she said this, one day at a time. She said, we literally sing it out loud, and we don't care who's here before I leave. Nurses around, other friends around, it doesn't matter. Dad and I will put it on, and I'll pull it up on a phone, sang by somebody. His favorite one was Merle Haggard. And he goes, oh, play it by Merle. This is when I was there. Play it by Merle, Mama. And, you know, it's like, well, and she said, well, don't you like how this guy does it? She's recommending like a Christian. And well, I don't know if Merle's a Christian, but I mean, you know, somebody else. And he no, Merle knows how to sing it right. And I was like, okay. But then they pull it up, Merle Haggard starts singing, they'd sing with him, you know, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. And we're gonna get back to that. But I want you to think about this, because anxiety is me letting my mind getting out of today and into tomorrow, which I have nothing to do about yet. And Jesus talks about this very directly. So here's the deal. I'm present and I care and can help. All that. God is present and he's real and he's a real helper. That's kind of a little bit from last week also, or last time also, and then live in the moment. So let me talk to you about your mind and tell you how this thing gets upside down. So we were wired by God to have a fear response that is important for our survival, right? So if you think about fear and you think about survival, you're going to be helped, right? So fear is this thing that's built into me that says that be careful. If I do that, I'm going to get hurt, and so I'm cautious, and there's a bit of alertness that comes up, and it fires off my endocrine system, and adrenaline comes and helps me to dilate and to focus and my pupils, my blood vessels rush more blood up to my brain where it's needed, and I can get on top of things. And the reason it is because when I hear the train blow the whistle, I need to get out of the track. It that sort of thing. And you can watch this from the tiniest little baby. They'll walk over to the edge of that right there, and and they're cautious and they're alert, and that whole system begins to, because self-preservation is built into us. Well, of course, and here's what happens is about the normal stuff is that, and in this particular text when Jesus is talking about, he's only talking about your life. The deepest sense of fear is self-preservation, your life. So I say to you, don't be anxious about your life. And then he unpacks kind of these primary needs that we have, your food and your clothing and what you're and where you live. But he starts off with your life, and then he talks about it again, about your life, and who can add by worrying add a single whatever to your life. And he's talking about the fear of your life. And so this is this what they call in the textbooks primal fear, or fear that you're born with, if you will. And so it's self-preserving, and there's nothing, and it's not bad. But what happened was I was born also connected to God, not disconnected. Are you following me? So after the fall, guess what happened? Now I'm disconnected from God. So now when fear comes, what am I now looking for survival? Who am I looking to for survival is a better question. Who am I looking to? Yeah, me. Well, in the first one, I'm a little guy. I'm looking to who? Yeah, mommy and daddy, right? When I'm a little guy, when I'm a little tyke, I'm looking to mommy and daddy. Or in Gwenny's, you know, case, she was looking to her 3-year-old sister to stabilize her, right? So that she wouldn't fall. And so what happens is that the natural mind, the natural man, the natural mind is fallen away from God until God introduces himself by grace to my mind and brings me to light and life and all of that, right? And so what happens is I build in a default of fear, and I'll talk about this for an entire lesson on fear's twin sister, which is control, okay? So somebody, let's just say that out loud with me because it's real important. Fear's twin sister is control. That's right. So what happens is if I'm afraid something's bad going to happen, well, I have to control it to make sure it doesn't happen. Does that make sense? Okay, so why? Why do I do that? Because I don't think God is in control, right? I'm disconnected from God in the natural man. This is why God always tries to say, when David's afraid, he says, when I am afraid, I will very first thing, trust in thee. I need to get reconnected to the source when I am afraid, because I have been trained in my natural mind to trust in me. When I am afraid, I will trust in thee, instead of when I am afraid, I will trust in me. And so what happens is that if I've been hurt, I don't want to be hurt again. If I've been abandoned, I don't want to be abandoned again. If I've been abused, I don't want to be abused again. If I've been left, I don't want to be left again. If I've been left out, I don't want to be left out again. If I haven't been accepted, I don't want to be accepted yet. In other words, I've got a system that's built in to protect me from injury or death. Does that make sense? Okay, so that system, though, outside of Christ is 100% reliant on me to come up with my own, we call these defense mechanisms to survive life and people. And so I have my own defense mechanisms that protect me from getting hurt, from falling. I mean, whether it's a physical thing or whatever it is. And so you see all of these people. And by the way, just to mention this, because there's a lot of talk about this, is that I really do believe that we're kind of that from a trait perspective, there are some people that are way more resilient than other people. There are some people, you'll see this, you've got 5 kids, I have 5 kids, you'll see some kids just are naturally fearless, just walk off the side of the pool and without swimmies and just sink, and then look up and go, hey, what's going on? And then the other kid will walk to the side of the pool and be very afraid to get in the water, you know? And so there's a little bit of kind of this stuff is on a scale, if you will, and it's built in. And I don't know exactly all about that as it relates to the fall, but I'll tell you whether it's the most resilient person who's kind of least afraid naturally, if you will, or the person who's scared of his own shadow from the time he's born. All of us end up depending on ourselves, and all of us end up building in a sense of, I've got to solve my problem and keep me safe. Fair enough? And that's where anxiety and fear comes from. And anxiety and fear don't work if I'm not anticipating something bad happening that I need to keep myself safe from. If everything was safe, I wouldn't ever be anxious. Does that make sense? But I know I live in a fallen world, and I know bad things happen, and I know that I may be hurt. And by the way, my history well informs me that I'm going to be, you know, people are going to do me dirty, right? It well informs me of that. And so I want to build in my own defense mechanisms to prevent that from happening and to control it and to keep it from happening instead of learning how to face it properly and in a biblical and a godly way. So that's what we're trying to do here. So when I talk about the natural man and the natural mind, I'm talking about that built-in predisposition that we have to trust in ourselves and take control and mobilize our defense mechanisms to keep ourselves safe from any various versions of harm, whether they be psychological harm, somebody's going to hurt me or do me dirty, or physical harm, I'm afraid of heights or planes or this or that or the next thing. So that was kind of just an overview, but I'm going to be trying to bring those little type of ideas in before we get into the text so that you'll know where I'm coming from as we unpack this in a deeper way as we move through it. So let's listen to the Lord Jesus as he's talking about this, and he lands this right in the middle of the greatest sermon ever preached, and he's talking to kingdom citizens. He's talking to people who he has given the kingdom to. As a matter of fact, in the Luke version of this sermon, which is in Luke 12, this is in Matthew 6. In Luke 12, it's the same thing. You'll find the same passage. In the Luke version, he ends up and he says, do not be afraid, little flock, for I've been pleased to give you the kingdom. And so these are kingdom citizens, people that God, by his grace, before the foundation of time, chose in Christ, and they fell in Adam, and they're lost, and he saved them by his grace and brought them to life. Those people, the kingdom people, the church, God's people, this is who he's talking to. Therefore, I tell you, and that's the you he's talking about, do not be anxious about your life. Now, I want to say this as it relates to last week. Remember, that is a command, but it's not a command in the sense of, and you're sinning if you do. It's a command in the sense, the same sense that you would tell your little kid when your little kid's afraid and you go up and you put your arms around him and say, don't be afraid, honey, I'm right here with you. Does that make sense? And you still are telling them not to be afraid, and you don't want them to be afraid. So, I mean, it's not like it's not a command. It is a command. It's not a suggestion. You really are telling them not to be afraid, but you're anchoring them not being in afraid in a reality that they have present, which is that you're there with them and will keep them safe. And so when God tells me not to be afraid, he anchors it in that same reality. That he is there with me, and he is here to keep me safe. Therefore, Bobby, don't be afraid. You follow? Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. And then he says, here are these primary things that I need to kind of keep my life going. What you'll eat and what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than all of those things that keep it sustained? And he says, more than food in the body, more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor they reap, nor do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And so let me just park there for a second. What Jesus is saying there is, this is simple. God is taking care of the birds of the field, and he's feeding them, and you're more valuable than them, and he's here, and he cares for you. If he's present tense feeding a bird for the, I don't know, birds live for what, a couple weeks or something, and some of the bigger ones, parrots live for eons, but I mean, you know, I'm talking about the little finches, and if God's caring for them for however long that they're alive, and he says, and I do that, you have more value than them, and I'm also caring for you. So because I'm caring for you, you shouldn't be afraid, right? And we know that's what he says in that passage. But the thing is that even though, so God is present, God is near, and he cares. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on me, on him. For why? He cares for you. That's right. That's right. So God is present. In other words, God wouldn't know the bird was hungry unless he was present. But he does know he's hungry, and he feeds him. So God knows you're present. He cares and provides. God is present. He knows your need and provides. So you shouldn't be afraid about your life. And so I flew on an airplane, and of course, since I'm doing this series, I thought, well, airplanes are very common phobia, fear of flying. Did anybody ever had that, any version of it at all? None of y'all? I have had times, and I've flown lots, but I've had times where I've been anxious, and I really haven't been able to orient it at all. I just, like, I don't know why I'm anxious. I've flown 100 times, you know, but for some reason, I'll feel a little anxious about it. And so, fear of flying. Well, and what is the fear? It's not the fear of flying, is it? What is the fear of? Yeah, it's a fear of death. Exactly. It's a fear of crashing. It's this. It's the fear of your life. Right? So what do I have to do? Well, I have to trust the Lord with my life. And that's it. Okay, Lord, you know, I trust you with my life. It's simple. Okay, and so, And I don't have to mind my anxiety, right? In other words, my anxiety is not in control of me. The fact that God's in control of my life is in control of me. Even though I'm experiencing the anxiety in the moment. That's the key to it. So we're not avoiding anxiety. When I am afraid, we're not avoiding it. It's real. It's going to show up. But when you do, I'll trust in thee. Okay. So he says, look at the birds of the air. Okay, are you not more valuable than them? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And then the Luke version is that next sentence. The next sentence says, if then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? So here's the thing. God says, don't worry about your life. Now, he knows that's the primal fear. That's the fear. There's a lot of books written about facing death. And, you know, Dad just went through this. I just watched him go through it. It was interesting. You know, the only anxiety that he experienced was when, and some of you who were around know that he had cancer in his spine right here, and it paralyzed him. And ultimately, the paralysis was in his... what's the thing that makes you breathe? Yeah, diaphragm. Ultimately, it was in his diaphragm, and that was when he died. And the only experience that he had was that he couldn't take a breath. And he wasn't afraid to die. It was just like, that's alarming by itself. And you can't do nothing about that. That is so baked in your cake that, you know, that's just it. And so he was distressed by that. Let me say that. He wasn't afraid to die. He was going to be with the Lord and knew it and talked about it and rejoiced in it with all his family. He was at peace with God. But that didn't mean that not being able to breathe didn't rattle his cage. It did. You with? Okay. And so, and I didn't want him to suffer like that either, by the way. So, he says this. And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin, and yet Solomon, who was arrayed even in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. And then his whole point of saying that is not to tell you how pretty flowers are. Jabari and Kara just found out that they thought Mississippi flowers were pretty. When you go to Hawaii, I'm serious, it's a whole nother level. But if God clothes the grass of the field, the whole point is the if God thing. And then he says, which is today alive and tomorrow in the evening, will he not what? Say those two words. Will he not what? Much more clothe you. And then what does he say? Yeah, and what does he mean? He's not picking on him about that, is he? Really, God's not sitting here going, you naughty person, oh, you're just a little faither. He's just letting them know that if you don't trust me yet, like, I love you, I'm caring for you, I'm present, I'm telling you, I take care of everything. You think I'm not going to take care of you? I take care of birdies, and I take care of the grass, and you don't think I'm going to take care of you? You don't know me yet, right? Because to know him is to love him. To know him is to believe in him and to trust in him and to put your faith in him. So, oh, you little faith. And so he says, therefore, and here's the phrase again. What does it say? Don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. What he's saying there is the natural man is always concerned about that. It's baked in the cake. He's not picking on Gentiles. He's just saying, you're kingdom citizens. I'm your provider. You know that. So you don't need to be anxious about the things that when man got disconnected from God, he became a neurotic being. And you don't need to be neurotic beings. You're not disconnected from God. And then he says this. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What does that mean? That means know who the God of the kingdom is. Seek the God of the kingdom. Know the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus the Son. Know that you're clothed with that righteousness by grace. Right? And what is the great fear of death? This is in 1 John where John says that fear is about judgment and perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean? If I know that I'm loved and I know that I'm righteous in Christ, then the fear of death, that love casts out that fear. It casts it out. And so then he says this. He says, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Now, in the King James, and by the way, anxiety in this word, the Greek word here for anxiety is the word to take thought of, if you will. In other words, let your mind spend excessive amount of time on this stuff, if you will. And so because in the King James, it'll reads like this. So take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough anxiety of its own. In other words, when you show up in tomorrow, you're going to have enough stuff to say grace over. Don't start saying grace over tomorrow's stuff today. So that's why when I asked Mom, I said, Mom, so like how did y'all come up with the One Day at a Time theme song? And she said, well, it was really simple. Any time that I let my head go even one day more than what was happening right now today, I would just get overwhelmed. And I just knew that God took care of it, right? Remember the first point, that God was present and that he cared and that he provided. I already knew that. And so I wasn't going to get ahead of myself, for today had enough trouble of its own. For today had enough trouble of its own. And I don't care what your anxiety is, and we're going to talk about a bunch of different versions of it, but Welch. Ed Welch said that it all comes back to that. It all comes back to God is present, and he cares, and he has provision, and stay in today and take care of what you have to take care of. Here's your homework for next week. There's a video on YouTube, and all you YouTubers, all you young guys, like GT, I know you'll get on this right now. So all you young guys, I want you to watch a video of a little, maybe two-year-old, and the name of it is You Worry About Yourself. How many of you have already seen it? Raise your hand. Oh, boy. It's going to be a delight. And okay, so it'll be premiered here next week, but it's already viral. But I want you to do it. Next week, we're going to talk about one of the main big ways to prevent worry and to prevent anxiety is to stay in your own lane and to worry about what is in front of you, not the whole world's stuff, if you will. And keep the circle proper, Hank. Hank knows what I'm talking about there. And so keep the circle right. And we're going to talk about that next week, that God, I'm not responsible for the world, and God doesn't want me to take care of the world. Because even today, and we're going to talk about how social media and how the internet gets all, and all of our kids are all having anxiety. Teenage anxiety is like, nobody ever heard of a teenage anxiety attack 30 years ago. Nobody ever did. Now they're like so commonplace, it's ridiculous. And so what's happening? Well, we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about how to reel that in your own mind. So here's the homework for the week is to watch that video, You Worry About Yourself. And then memorize this verse. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And the two principles are what? God is present, cares, and he provides. And then the other one is stay in today. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Okay, band, come on up and get us out of here. Lord, we love you. You were the one who gave us the system that we have. It fell away from you, and it became dependent on itself, and we're a mess because of that. But you have saved us and called us back into this connected relationship where when we are afraid, we can trust in you, and you're present, and you're here for us. And Lord, I pray that we will just learn how to live that out. In Jesus' name, amen.